Welcome to Words to Live By, a podcast series hosted by the Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation and Institute. Each week, we will share some of the wit and wisdom of Ronald Reagan. In essence, Words to Live By, made up of radio addresses and speeches he delivered from the 1960s through the 1980s. As you perhaps recall, in the late 1970s, the energy crisis was in full swing. The price of gasoline and oil were soaring as we waited hours in gas lines and worried about a shortage of heating oil in the winter. Demands for more energy ran up against serious environmental concerns. Sound familiar? Over a five-year period, Governor Reagan, then out of office, delivered 85 broadcasts on the energy problem and the environment. We'll listen to two of them today, one entitled Oil One and the other entitled OPEC. The topics are eerily familiar, exploring the need for new energy sources, especially oil, natural gas, and nuclear power. He weighs the need for energy against the environmental concerns of producing that energy, often concluding that governmental regulations are overly restrictive. And recall that the Soviet Union, in hard currency revenues from oil and natural gas in the mid-1980s, placed their economy under additional stress and hastened their collapse. So, let's go back to June 15, 1977, and listen to an analysis of the oil crisis by Ronald Reagan. Let's listen.
Maybe what I'm about to say could be called What We Should Know About Oil. Hopefully it'll still some troubled waters. I'll be right back. I've been out around the country recently in a number of states filling some speaking engagements. When you do this, you usually meet members of the press who have a question or two. Of late, those questions have had to do with my remarks about the proposed energy legislation and why I don't buy the CIA report quoted by the president, which has us running out of oil in about 30 years. Well, it's true. I don't buy that report. And if the president does, then isn't his plea for conservation to reduce consumption by 10% rather futile? If all the oil's going to be gone in 30 years, does it really make much difference if we make it last 33? I don't believe it'll be gone in 30 or 33 years. In 1914, the United States Bureau of Mines projected future production of crude oil at 5.7 billion barrels. Since then, we've produced 34 billion. Incidentally, about that same time, we were told there was no hope of ever finding oil in Texas or Kansas. In 1920, we were told we'd be out of oil in 15 years. 19 years later, in 1939, the Department of Interior told us we'd run out in 13 years. Since then, we've discovered more than the total known oil reserves we had at that time. In 1948, the proven reserves in all of the free world amounted to 62.3 billion barrels. Within 24 years, there were nine times as many. In 1949, our Department of Interior said the end of the United States oil supply was in sight. We increased production in the next 5 years by 1 million barrels a day. By 1970, known world reserves were six times as large as they were in 1950. To digress for a moment, this holds true for virtually all the minerals our advanced industrial economy depends on. To give just a few examples, known reserves of iron between 1950 and 1970 increased 1,321%, chrome 675%, copper 279%, and phosphates 4,430%. To get back to oil reserves, they had increased 507%. Significantly, and contrary to much of what is being said, the amount of proven reserves is increasing faster than the rate of consumption. The National Academy of Engineering explains that U.S. oil reserves discovered to date total 430 billion barrels. But low-cost conventional technology will only get 140 billion barrels out of the ground. This leaves more than twice that much, 290 billion barrels, much of which can be recovered by more expensive techniques if the government will allow the price of oil to respond to market demands. 7 years ago, we were producing 9.6 million barrels every day. Now we're only pumping 8.1. The decline is caused by restrictions imposed by government. Having reduced production, the government now proposes that we reduce consumption. For 25 years, every 1% rise in price resulted in a 4% increase in the supply of gasoline. Why don't we try the free market again? This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
After this brief message, come back to hear what Ronald Reagan thinks about OPEC.
The Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation is the nonprofit organization created by President Reagan himself, and specifically charged by him with continuing his legacy and sharing his principles: individual liberty, economic opportunity, global democracy, and national pride. We must remain vigilant and work together to share these conservative principles with younger generations. Your role is critical to move our mission forward. Thank you for your continued support. Please visit reaganfoundation.org/give. That's reaganfoundation.org/give.
Now, back to Ronald Reagan's comments about OPEC. He questions, should we be mad at OPEC or should we be mad at ourselves? The key role of oil prices is once again salient as the United States and its allies have declared a new campaign of economic warfare against Russia. And there are several parallels between that earlier policy and today. Reagan decided to step up economic pressure against the Soviet Union in the aftermath of the Soviet-directed martial law imposed on Poland, a proxy invasion, so to speak. And that was at the end of 1981. Now, we have Russia invading Ukraine. Among the measures Reagan sought was an end to a Soviet natural gas pipeline to Western Europe, shades of Nord Stream 2 today, though he only managed to delay its completion. But by far, the biggest factor in Reagan's campaign to cripple the Soviet economy was engineering a drop in oil prices. Between 1981 and 1986, the price of oil fell from around $35 a barrel to $14 a barrel. Overnight, one energy expert wrote, the windfall oil and dollar profits the Soviet Union had been enjoying were wiped out. Let's listen to OPEC, delivered on January 19, 1979, 2 years before his inauguration as president.
It's easy to get mad at the OPEC nations when they raise the price of oil. But maybe we should get mad at ourselves. I'll be right back. The OPEC oil producers have told us the price of oil is going up, and our energy agency has informed us that will call for an increase at the gasoline pump. But before we call them greedy monsters, guilty of adding to inflation, let me play the devil's advocate. OPEC oil is priced in American dollars. In the last few years, our dollar has been going down in value relative to more stable currencies such as the West German mark and the Japanese yen. And guess what? The actual price of oil for Germany and Japan has been going down. It's pretty obvious that if $14 will buy a barrel of oil, but 14 American dollars now are only equal to a lesser number of marks or yen, then the Germans and Japanese are getting their oil at a lower price. The OPEC nations have to up the number of dollars they get just to stay even. And it is we who are responsible for reducing the value of the dollar. Now, that's only a small part of our foolishness. With some plain common sense, we could break up the OPEC monopoly. Item number one, there are vast quantities of natural gas available in the United States. If our own government regulations did not stand in the way of it being produced, this untapped natural gas would break the back of the OPEC cartel. A deplorable tragedy was preventable and unnecessary in the bitter winter of 1976-77. There was cold and discomfort in homes, but even worse was the loss of jobs, production, and income as industry had to shut down for lack of fuel. We'd been warned in 1974 that we were in danger of running out of natural gas. Part of the problem is that deeper wells must be drilled. It costs $3 million to drill a 20,000-foot well in Texas. Offshore wells can be drilled for $1 million, but it takes several years to get them into production. These harder-to-get-at gas deposits cannot be delivered to the pipelines for the price the government allows them to charge, so that gas is neither drilled nor delivered. You can't sell a pencil for a nickel if it costs a dime to make it. Right now in my own state, California, a shortage of natural gas exists, and it's getting worse. If we substitute coal or oil, we aggravate an already serious smog problem. It is estimated that California could lose 800,000 jobs by 1981 because of reduced gas supplies. We are currently buying liquefied natural gas from Indonesia for $3.50 per 1,000 cubic feet.
A study by the government's own Energy Research and Development Agency tells us that at 3.25 and below, there is enough natural gas available for hundreds of years. This study was done in 1974, and nothing has been done about it. The magic word is decontrol of the wellhead price. It would take about 5 years lead time to get much of this production underway, and we'll have shortages for those 5 years. This wouldn't have been true if we'd gotten underway in 1974, but decontrol now and production of the gas available in our own land would literally break up the OPEC cartel. What are we waiting for? This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening.
For more information on the Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation and Institute, including information on how to become a member, information on upcoming exhibits at the Reagan Library, and more information on the legacy of President Reagan, please visit ReaganFoundation.org. And don't forget to like and follow the Reagan Foundation on all social media platforms.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Words to Live By podcast in your iTunes or Google Play stores and on other podcast platforms as they become available. New episodes of Words to Live By come out every Tuesday. Like what you hear? Check out our A Reagan Forum podcast featuring great speeches delivered at the Reagan Library. New episodes drop every Thursday. And don't forget to follow at Ronald Reagan on Facebook, at Ronald Reagan 40 on Twitter, and Reagan Foundation on YouTube. Also, search for us on SoundCloud and Stitcher.